Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No one's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. Oh boy, it's hot. I'm on the beach. Just picture it. In the middle of January, the sea lapping at your feet, the sun beating down warmth on your clammy, sweaty skin. It's freezing. I'm cold. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? We do have to remember that our audience is not UK-based.
I get, but...
So in the States, not all of the States, but there will be areas of the States that are like, yeah, yeah, of course it's very hot. It's the middle of January.
Yes, well, yeah, that's not... That's a joke. That's... New York's cold, right? A lot of America is cold. I keep getting people saying, it's always warm in Florida. I'm like, but no one is doing... like a sort of bash at the beach summer themed thing. This is a summer theme.
Yeah, well, no, but it's in Miami where it is hot.
And
people are going to the beach.
Yes. Look.
It's region specific.
Okay, if you make the argument it's beach themed, I got you. But for me, it's a summer theme.
Well, that's your problem.
Yeah. Well, it is, right? And that's the hill I'm dying on.
Yeah. And are you grumpy because you're hungover?
I am also hungover. It was the BT Sport Party yesterday.
House party.
House party to celebrate WWE. It was actually a very genius PR visual.
It was brilliant.
Where they got a moving truck outside Sky's offices. Which is kind of, I love that sort of thing when people go out for their competitors like
and
that.
For context, WWE has been on Sky here in the UK for 30 years.
From the beginning
of
WWE being in this country. Always been with Sky. That deal expired on the 31st of December 2019.
The relationship soured because WWE signed a new deal with them where they would get pay-per-views and then a month later launch the network.
Yeah. And they couldn't explain away because that had obviously been in the works for quite some time. And it never came up in those conversations
that
with Sky.
Never came up.
Yeah, so it was a ticking time bomb for that contract to expire and not be renewed. BT Sport have taken it. And yeah, they did. They got a truck and they filled it up with like ladders and chairs and tables. So it looked like it was overfilling. And they literally moved, like moving house across London to BT Sports headquarters, which just so happened to be a 5-minute walk from where we record this podcast.
Now, I know I'm pretty sure some people are getting deja vu here, or déjà vu, as Del Boy used to say, because we've had this conversation about this being 5 minutes from our office before when talking about Royal Quest.
Yes.
But actually, once again, this was a 5-minute walk from our office. Our office is brilliantly situated.
I don't know why we keep getting... like, the wrestling world is slowly migrating to us.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you just wait, Stamford, Connecticut, when you have to relocate to a WeWork in Stratford.
Yeah.
They're still around, of course. Yeah, so it was a stunning event in terms of the sort of money that have been thrown at it. Ric Flair, Charlotte Flair,
Andrade,
Kurt Angle, Sheamus.
Sheamus's first match of 2020, and his first match, obviously, since his big injury.
Mm.
He had a match against Andrade, and he looked great in the ring.
It's quite a unique experience to see main roster people of that level, you know, Sheamus and Andrade, we watched was the opening match, with that level of production, because we are in BT Sports' mega studio, which is like the size of two aircraft hangars, with just all the latest technology. And they've got a giant LED cylinder in the middle of the room that you can just pump graphics onto. It's an amazing space. Just like, you know, it's state of the art for broadcast. And so we're watching it with this level of production. Stephanie McMahon came out, cut a promo. And we were...
One of my favourite moments as well, because... If you're in the UK, you will have heard our BT Sports advert, because they've been sponsoring this podcast, to let everyone know that WWE is moving to BT Sports. And they gave us very, very loose instructions of what we should say. But the one specific thing they told us is, we are BT Sport, not BT Sports. And I think we've
not plural.
Not plural. We brought it up before because everyone used to call me Luke Owens. And I'm like, no, it's Luke Owen, not Luke Owens.
You know how they feel.
So it's very a very straightforward thing. It is BT Sport, not BT Sports.
Yes.
What was the first thing Stephanie McMahon said?
BT Sports.
I wasn't there to see the promo, but I heard it and just started laughing because I could almost hear the BT Sport people going like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah. And she said it multiple times. It wasn't the sort of press release announcement where you only say BT Sport once.
No.
It was like...
If
you were to get that, it was like it was designed for SEO purposes when you write down that transcript. That's the way press releases are. And it's just WWE, BT Sports, WWE, BT Sports. Just like over and over again. And every time I just had a little snigger. It's just open the leaflet. And I am in BT Sports. Great to be here.
Yeah. Sprongfeld.
Yeah. So, but... That said, like, that's a very minor criticism. And it was not really a criticism. It was just funny.
It made me laugh.
But to see Sheamus and Andrade work with all that level of production in a room that probably had 400 or 500 people around the ring.
Oh, I wouldn't have said that. I'd said like 150
well,
max.
I think that's misleading because it's such a big space.
Maybe.
I think there was... deceptively a large amount. But let's just say 200 people around the ring. Mm-hmm. And we were right at the front.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And it was no seating. We were literally just standing. Mm. So it was like three rows deep, just surrounding the ring.
Yeah.
More or less, with like a little barricade area.
That doesn't happen often. I felt quite privileged. And it was actually really cool to be in that environment and watch it. Because that must happen like 2-3 times a year. That these wrestlers do of like sort of corporate style events like
completely,
that.
Yeah.
And it was just, I was stunned by the difference of, because the only live wrestling I go to really is independent wrestling. And these are people who are polished by HD television. And that's what it looked like. It looked like I was watching wrestling in high definition.
It was really good.
When it was the Mustache Mountain match, six man with Gallus and Ilya Dragunov was... Like, it was brilliant, but it was more PWG style. You know, it's the fun indie style. They completely worked an indie house show match. But Sheamus and Andrade worked a SmackDown match. And it was just really, really interesting.
I thoroughly enjoyed that six-man main event, which, it was Mustache Mountain and Ilya Dragunov versus Gallus. And it was... So we were by Trent and Tyler and Ilya, like, in their corner. From the moment that they came out, I think that they had clocked that we knew who they were from, like, sort of like the independent stuff, because we were starting their independent scene charts and stuff. And in the ring was Chris Roberts, referee Chris Roberts, who used to be like one, he used to be the main referee for our local promotion, Rev Pro. And Roberts's deal is he gets hounded by the fans to an almost bullying level. But part of the gimmick is just to shout, do your job, Roberts.
Yeah.
Roberts, do your job, which is brilliant when the heels distract him, yeah, and he's very easily distracted, because the crowd can go, boo, Roberts, come on, man, this is your job. And Trent was egging that on, because he kept shouting, do your job, Roberts.
Trent's a funny guy. Of all the wrestlers in the world, I think we've been asked this question before. Trent Seven's the man I want to go to the pub with.
Yeah.
He'd just be so cool about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was so good. I loved it. And I drank probably too much.
Yeah. Well, you said this morning that you wanted to write an angry letter to BT Sport because they kept filling up your wine glass when you asked them.
What the hell? Well, yeah. And then some. They were liberal with the wine.
Yeah.
They wanted to wow me.
Well, I think that's because everyone had drunk all the beer. So there was all the wine left over at the end of the night. They're like, well, we've got to get rid of it somehow. Let's pass it on to this drunken
lad. This one guy. Yeah. Because like the first glass I got, normal glass of white wine. You know, 200 milliliters. About four-eighths. That's a half. 4/10, let's say. 2/5 of the size of this large wine glass.
That is early in the night of a PR event where they're like, well, we can't, let's not go heavy with the amount of wine we're pouring in because we don't know how many people are going to want wine throughout the night. So be sparing with it. Then you get to the end of the night, we're like, oh man, we've got 20 bottles left. Top it up.
And that's what they were doing. They were giving me 500 milliliters of wine a go.
Half pints.
Yeah, half pints of wine. And I'm a quick drinker, which is why I've learned in recent times that Guinness is my drink, because it kind of slows me down.
Yeah.
And it's like it's nowhere near the alcohol content of wine. Because I will drink the same volume of liquid regardless of what it is when I'm out. Mm-hmm. So it's better to go for a lower volume, a lower alcohol version of that. But yeah, the wine, I just knocked it back. And now I hate myself. I just don't enjoy being hungover anymore, because it's not just, oh, I feel like I've got a headache. It's, I'm a worthless piece of crap. Everyone hates me. I did everything wrong. Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
Just awful self-talk. We should probably get on with the show.
We should do. Actually, we need to dive into this show. And it was a show. It's AEW Dynamite. There's a new leader of the Dark Order, apparently. And here's our review.
Let's dive into it. The Dark Order, after getting a massive push towards the end of the year, so big, they had to stop it. Dark Order ran in on the 18th of December episode main event of AEW Dynamite. They laid waste to the entire main event scene. So Young Bucks, Omega, Cody, I think,
not
as well.
Paige. Not was Paige. Not Paige. Because he had the punches.
Ooh, crucial, yeah. And it was just all the creepers, the minions.
There was the mysterious member there, which some people thought was to be Brandon Cutler.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the thing where the Beaver Boys joined them.
Yes.
I can't remember their actual
name. Alex Reynolds and John Silver.
That's the ones. So they've joined. Like, we know that they're now with Stu Grayson and Evil Uno, and there's a few other creepers as well. And yeah, there was one other differently coloured creeper. There seems to be a hierarchy in the colours of the faction, where I think it's purple just means you're a generic creeper.
I think green is your generic, and purple is like the level up from that, and then you don't have to wear a mask if you're
Stu Grayson.
Stu Grayson, yeah.
Yeah, because the Beaver Boys put on these with the purple
tier. I
don't
think they wrestled in masks.
They put them on at the end, though.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But there was one other purple tier guy. That happened at the end of last year. And there was a backlash to that angle because it wasn't very good. Most people were down on it.
Yeah.
Even JR. So they really pulled back from that main event push of that storyline and went back to basics, which is a good idea. And the Dark Order started. They approached Christopher Daniels last week, trying to get him to join off the back of his losing streak.
Yep.
And this week, we got just a little, what would you call it? Not a skit, but a...
Well, it was a promo segment.
It was a promo segment.
That have been paid for by the Dark Order. Like, they're very... They're explaining how these are getting up on television, it's being paid for in order to be on TV, the way that the New World Order used to do.
Yeah.
There's a question like, how are the NWO getting these things? Well, it's paid for.
Mm.
But so they had this segment, and it's the guy who was doing all of the infomercials who was, you know, are you fat and rubbish? Join the Dark Order. He was chatting to and someone off screen who had a voice synthesizer thing on, like a digitally altering.
It was distorted.
Yeah. And the guy was running through, he's like, look at all these emails we have had from people who've gone to jointhedarkorder.com. And here are the people that we are currently targeting. We're targeting Brandon Cutler. We are targeting someone else.
Michael Nakazawa.
That's it,
Michael Nakazawa. Kenny Omega's mate.
Yeah, so it was Michael Nakazawa, and it was Brandon Cutler, and Hangman Page was the third one. And like this off-screen voice was saying, like, cool, let's really focus on destroying the elite. That is our current main objective. And it's funny because for the last few weeks, we've been talking about how, well, a lot of people in the comments have been saying, like, who do you think is the leader of the Dark Order? And we've both said, me in particular has been pushing this. Well, it's Uno.
It's Evil Uno.
quite clearly, Evil Uno is the leader. And then Evil Uno cut a promo last week saying, like, no, there is a higher power. And I'm like, what do you mean there's a higher? You're the higher power because you're Evil. You're Uno.
Yeah.
It's in your name. Yeah. You're literally the leader of this group. But no, we now have Dr. Claw off screen after Inspector Gadget, who is the actual leader, which I think is effing stupid.
Yeah, it's. I thought the point was to get the Dark Order over as a team. Really, you know, like from the start of this, and the Young Bucks have said in interviews of everyone on our roster, the act that has the most potential is the Dark Order. So I just assumed, and then they started doing those really cool infomercial things. And I thought, hey, I can see why they're thinking this now. This does have some fiend lore-like mythology behind it that's really, really actually intriguing. But yeah, I thought all of that was to get over Grayson and Uno.
Yeah.
They are the Dark Order, but it appears we're wrong.
Oh,
they are just like the front to whoever this larger force is.
Yeah, you and I have 100%, we are 100% wrong on this. And so we've had comments after comment, people saying like, oh, I think Marty is the leader. I think Broken Matt Hardy is the leader. I think that Brody Lee is going to be revealed as leader. And I've replied to all those comments being like, Evil Uno is the leader. It's been very clear on TV that he's in charge.
Yeah.
Because he's wearing the suit. He's cutting the promos. He talks about the Dark Order. He was featured in all the infomercials. And somewhere along the way, that has now changed. And he is not. And there is a Hower Power.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's like, what has happened in the last 6 weeks to maybe make AEW change direction with this? Maybe it was always the plan. Or maybe someone did get released from their contract and they're like, we've got a really good idea to bring this person in.
And maybe they'll help get this group over.
But I look at Brody Lee. I look at Broken Matt Hardy. I look at Marty Scurll. And I'm thinking, you three guys, if you do go to AEW, I don't want you to be with the Dark Order.
No.
I want you to be your own thing.
Yeah.
The Broken Universe is different. I get it. It feels similar to this whole Dark Order thing. Anything kind of macabre is kind of lumped in together. But there's definite differences there. And Matt, it wouldn't be... I don't think it would work. Same with Marty. That's... Dark Order thing.
Villain Enterprises does not feel the same as the Dark Order.
Yeah, he's not a cult leader. And he's he's sort of a penguin mob boss. I always saw him.
And I the other thing I've always said about this when people have said, like, do you think that Marty's going to be the leader? My argument for Marty, if he's going to go to AEW, is I'd like to see him be a singles guy.
Exactly.
I don't even want to see him be part of the elite. I want to see him have a singles run because we've seen him in groups. Same with Brody Lee. People saying, like, I think Brody Lee should be part of this team. It's like, no, I want to see Brody have a singles run.
Yeah.
We've seen him be part of a team now for it almost felt like a decade at this point because he was part of the Wyatt family, then he was part of the Bludgeon Brothers, then he was with Rowan again. It always felt like he was always someone's tag partner, apart from that mini short run that he had in like 2014
which was the best version of it.
So I want to see Brody Lee have a run. So of those three names that often get suggested as these are the actual leader of the Dark Order, I don't want it to be either one of them.
Yeah. Well, maybe then there's a bit of a swerve coming up. And it is Hangman Page. I'm not a big fan of that idea. Again, I don't think cowboy S-word and all that stuff, if he turns heel, the heel version of him is what he's doing now, but being more of a dick in my head.
Yeah.
I think to over-gimmick him with a whole faction and helping people who are down and out of luck, I don't think it works.
It needs to be a name, though. Like, yeah. That's the thing, is they've now, we're at a point with the Dark Order where this needs to be a name.
Mm.
This needs to be someone that is instantly recognizable.
Luther!
Well, that's it. Otherwise, it's going to be a Luther situation where they debut and they're like, "Ah, who's this?" And you've got Excalibur on commentary going like, "Well, it's this person." We're, you know, quickly reading their Wikipedia page.
Let's remember, AEW have not done a very effective debut since John Moxley.
Yeah.
In my eyes.
And we're coming up to nearly a year on that. So I think that, it needs to be, then this needs to be a big reveal. And if it's not one of those three names, or it's not someone you're bringing in, then Hangman Page is the one that makes the most sense because he is a recognizable name. But I'm also not sure, like, I don't think it fits that well. Then again, there have been plenty of times where we've gone like, "Oh, I don't think this character should do that." And then they do, and it turns out that it's brilliant. So, you know, we could be
totally
way off base with this. But like, my personal opinion on this, at this point in time, I'm really enjoying what Hangman is doing at the moment.
It's the best thing on the show.
Easy. I said it in my 4-minute review. It's the best thing on Dynamite since the Jericho Cody feud. It is. But what he's doing now, I'm way more into than him joining the Dark Order.
Yes, yeah. Well, just before we get on to what Paige did in this episode, because potentially linked with the Dark Order stuff, if this little promo that played in this episode happened before the big main event Invasion and Rundown, then I think it works.
Yeah.
Because they're laying out here, we are gathering the forces, we're strengthening our numbers, and we're going after the elite. That's a really exciting, compelling storyline to develop and direction. And now you signpost that. Everyone's just waiting for it to happen. The problem is they went with the surprise route on December 18th, and it massively backfired. So that's a shame that they sort of got the story out of order there. But Hangman Page on this episode opened up the show with an incredible 4-way tag between...
Well, not according to Baron Corbin.
Oh.
You see his tweet.
On Twitter.
I didn't see it because he blocked me on Twitter because I didn't even know he was on Twitter.
Incognito browser.
Is that how you get around it?
Yeah, okay. You can get around it.
But it was posted up on WrestleTalk.com, which you should all go to. It's a great website. That he thought it was stupid because they weren't going for pins. And then it was just spot, 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 dive, dive, dive. Get your S word in. Try and get over.
Yeah.
God, people try to get over in a match.
Look. Baron Corbin's in no position to tell Kenny Omega how to work a wrestling match. However, let's not forget, Baron Corbin's a heel. He's probably done this to annoy everybody.
My favorite thing about it is everyone's comment on it, though. It's just like, man, even WWE stars are watching AEW over NXT.
Yeah. So this was a stunning match. Proud and Powerful. That's what they called it.
They're just Santana and Ortiz.
So they've dropped the PNP.
I think they dropped
good,
that, yeah.
Good, because I didn't fully get that. Young Bucks, best friends with Orange Cassidy, freshly squeezed at the side.
Massive pop.
And Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. And it was for a shot at the tag team titles against SCU on the cruise next week.
Yeah. And we said last week that we were kind of hoping that Hangman and Kenny picking up that big win that they got was going to put them into the tag rankings. It did. I think it put them in at number 4 or number 3, I think. And then they got into this match. And as soon as they announced this match, I was like, I really hope that Omega and Paige win this because I'm enjoying this story so much. And I just want to see it continue. And having the Young Bucks in this match was a stroke of genius. Not only because of, you know, it's the top 4 rankings, but it works so well. There was a moment during this match where Kenny, Matt, and Nick Jackson were working together. And Hangman Page is on the apron looking at them like, "You dicks. I can't believe you lot are doing this. This is ridiculous."
I'm so glad Hangman's found his hook.
Yeah.
This is so good.
It's been tremendous. His subtle storytelling and his subtle acting in this is great. And then at the end of the match, like we can go through the spots in a minute, but at the end of the match, the Young Bucks have got this kind of set up to win. You know, they were setting up to hit the Meltzer driver. Paige blind tags on Matt, steps in, they do the Buckshot V-trigger combo, which absolutely kills.
So cool.
absolutely kills everyone. And they get the win. And the Bucks are pissed off. So Kenny is then trying to play peacemaker.
Mm.
And Hangman's argument is just like, hey, man, I wanted to win the match.
Yeah.
It's a shot at the tag titles. I'm not going to give that up.
Yeah.
And but the Bucks were like, no, but we're friends. We're sort of in this. And he was like, oh, you know, but
I can see both sides.
Yeah, totally. I thought, I mean, I'm more on Hangman's side than I am the Young Bucks. But then at the end, he was just shaking hands with me like, yeah, we're cool. But in his eyes, you could see like, things are not cool. I think that Paige has been fan-freaking-tastic in this story.
And don't overlook Omega.
No, you're right.
Because Omega's selling of it is just, the man is an incredible actor. Like, he's just so good at acting with his face and mannerisms. But they walk off together afterwards. The Bucks sort of in the ring and they're, you know, celebrating. Paige grabs a drink from one of the fans, starts to drink it. Omega takes it away from him, gives it to another fan, and is like, come on, man, let's just celebrate. Paige goes and gets another drink.
Yeah.
And they walk off. It is stunningly subtle storytelling. We know where it's going to go. We know this is going to turn out to be Paige eventually turns on the Elite. Stuff being predictable does not mean it's bad.
Yeah. And there was one final segment of this show, which when Jen Decker was trying to interview SCU about the tag match next week, and a drunken Hangman Page walks up to them, spills his drink on Christopher Daniels, and then starts mouthing off as if it was their fault in that sort of brilliantly drunken way. As Son of Fire is like, I'm going to kick your teeth and I'm going to kick your ass. Kenny has to dive in and once again play peacemaker with like SCU being like, look, guys, we really respect you. Let's just have a really good match next week. But Paige is just in the background going like, I'm going to kick your teeth in. I'm going to kick your teeth in. I thought it was a wicked, wicked segment. I'm digging this storyline so much.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. We'll get onto the like the full stuff that's happening, like the play-by-play of that match, because there's a lot to dive into there as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's do some Patreon Pledge Hammer shout outs to you lovely folks before we get on with the super chats. We're going to have our review of Royal Rumble 2001.
Oh, yes.
Up soon for you Patreon people. So go over there and find out more about that. But thank you, Brett the Hitman, Matthew Williams.
Thank you so much. These are our $25 and above backers. Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins.
Leroy
and Jenkins.
... Dive, Dylan Gachetta.
Yes.
All right, Baron.
They drew first blood, not me, Grace Rambo.
Cheat cop, yep. You sold out, Jay Sellers.
You sold out. Jonathan, the Headmaster Headman.
Yeah. I like this one. This is some kind of Patreon shout out. Nate.
It is. Great. Nate drop surname. It's on the next line.
Nate drop surname.
There it is. Hey. Xandermania running wild.
Yeah, Xandermania.
He's over there now.
Marcus, he's got soul. Ah, it's not that joke. Marcus, he's got soul Campbell.
Yeah, well, that was an Andy one. The Titan, Owen Towers.
Whoa, thank you, Owen. The real boss, Matt Robinson.
Lovely stuff. And lastly, just incredible Eagle Heights.
Whoa, thank you, everyone, for doing the Pledgehammer stuff.
For the technical difficulties that we had at the start of this, because we used this microphone yesterday when we were doing our interviews on the BT Sports and WWE bus, which are going up as a podcast on Sunday, so subscribe to the WrestleTalk podcast, but I'd plugged it into the wrong hole, so to speak. Anyway, so on the subject of the Dark Order and Hangman storyline, Kevin Chappell says, everyone knows that Vince McMahon is the higher power.
Yeah. Well, that would be worth it. That is definitely a reveal I'm behind.
It's Russo.
Oh, my God.
Imagine if it's Russo that's revealed.
Cody doesn't seem
to be a
fan of
bro.
Russo.
Oh. It was me, all along.
I'll get heat.
But finally, DJ the Second says, am I the only one that thinks Paige is in the right? I think when he turns in the Elite, it'll be incredibly justified. I don't think I could boo him.
Well, I don't think he's in the right overall. He does see like the it's totally understandable and relatable. Maybe that's why it's such an interesting story.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's down to his own demons and insecurities that is driving it, and it's ultimately a petulant behavior because he's just not confident in his own abilities.
Yeah. Seth Emmett says, don't you think it would have been better if Paige had pinned one of the Bucks? No, because I think the argument afterwards between them where like the Bucks had the match won and Paige stole that victory from them. I personally think it's a better story.
Yeah, and it's just like this. They have egged this perfectly. There is no over-egging here. This is week to week, subtle.
Someone's baking.
Yeah. It's just perfectly egged.
Are you trying to get Sandy's job because she's left Great British Bake Off?
Has she?
Yeah, yeah. She announced yesterday that she's leaving the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked her and Noel.
Yeah, so did I.
Although she didn't really get to do much because Noel will overshadow anyone else who's on there. Just save that till after the stream. I don't know how I can carry on now.
Christian Baltimore. Loving the Kenny and Hangman team. Seeing them with the belt would be amazing. Yeah, do we think they could win next week?
Well, SCU feel like a bit of an afterthought. I keep forgetting they're the tag champs.
Do you know who the women's champ is, if you remember that much?
It's the Japanese one.
It's
Rio.
Yeah, her name is Riho and she dances on the sand. Anyway, I think the SCU almost feel like Riho at the moment, where you put the belts onto someone because you were trying to make them feel like a big act. And I don't think is really... SCU don't feel massively over. They don't feel like they should be the tag champs. And I know what you're going to say. So say it.
It should have been Pentagon.
And lastly, did you see Hangman's title on his lower third graphic at the start? Anxious Millennial Cowboy.
Didn't know.
I love the running gag of using that screen space to tell jokes in addition to important story details. But
That's from Flint Mech.
What did I say?
You didn't say
it. Oh, sorry, from Flint Mech.
And a very generous donation, thank you.
You're absolutely right. What I love about this is that I think it's very much unintentional. It's not just done to be jokes. It's the Elite having fun.
Mm.
But Hangman is not in on the joke and he doesn't appreciate the joke. But they think that it's funny and they think that he is on the joke with them. So like, you see when they had the graphic up for the four-way tag, he was like right at the back.
Really?
And he felt like the most unimportant person there. And he's like, even the graphics department don't like me.
Yeah.
And I think in my sort of kayfabe world of this, the Bucks are being like, oh yeah, has had a drink. Oh, that'd be really funny to put on there. But Hangman's looking at being like, that's not funny, man.
I don't think so. I think Paige is, you know, I've certainly got in this state in the past where you're in such a sort of spiral down. You're like, well, I'll make jokes about myself. It's self-depreciating.
But he's made reference to it on Twitter where he's like, come on, guys.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if it's done.
Well,
like,
that makes it more your side. This match was just totally fire. 15 to 20 minutes long overall.
Yeah.
Eight guys, which means they can just do everything. Go very little downtime.
Put the foot to the floor. You do 100 miles an hour and you stay at 100 miles an hour. Mm. And then the match ends.
And it really was. And within that, you know, Baron Corbin can joke or troll about it however much he likes. But the fact is, this had more storyline progression in it and more interesting story stuff than like weeks of WWE programming. It's not like this, the action was just action. A lot of it was completely cemented with this wonderful foundation of Paige and Omega.
There was just so many wonderful different elements in this because you had the Young Bucks and Kenny sort of half working together because they're friends, and you had all the Paige stuff in there. So you've got the Kenny Omega and the Hangman Paige stuff. You've got the Young Bucks doing their stuff. The part of this match was really to try and put over best friends as well, because they kept saying, look, this is a really underrated team in AEW. And they you know, kept saying, if they get the win here, it you know, it's going to be a real upset. But it also wouldn't be that surprising because they are so good. But Proud and Powerful are also in the corner, part of the inner circle. No one's tagging them in. And they know that it's no DQ. So they're just getting in there, knocking them out, dragging people to the corner, tagging themselves in so they can get... I thought those two were terrific in this match.
That's it. This is the best they've looked in
the
my
best.
Eyes.
The best.
Yeah.
The best.
In my eyes, since they joined AEW.
Agreed.
Because this was the first time I was like... Completely 100%, that's the Santana and Ortiz that I watched in TNA.
In Impact.
That's the Tito and Santana that I watched in TNA, yeah. And they were amazing. They did this really great run of taking out everyone and then hitting dives on either side. To a This Is Awesome chant. There was this sharing suplex spot.
Yeah.
It's not just them as a tag team, but I feel like they've been missing from the inner circle a bit as well.
Yeah.
It's just been Jericho, Hager and Sammy for the last couple of weeks. So seeing them all together at the end of the episode was a really welcome sight as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought...
The middle of the episode.
Getting over... Oh, yeah good point. Yeah. Them getting over was the joint best thing about this match.
I thought they were so good. I thought best friends were great. I adore the Paige Omega tag team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got wicked tag team chemistry. When Kenny does the You Can't Escape, and he sets it up, Hangman runs right behind him and does a standing shooting star press. Omega's up to do the moonsault. Paige has gone underneath him to climb up and does a moonsault to the outside onto everyone else. I thought it was spellbinding stuff.
That was a brilliant sequence because, you know, like, you can't do this, surely. And they do it. And then I think, oh, that's amazing. Paige is going to moonsault onto whoever was in the ring. But no, he does it to the outside.
Yeah.
Like, to top my already very high expectations is an incredible feat.
So good.
But yeah, just and there was a great bit of comedy in there as well, where there's a sort of eight-man scrum because they're all trying to do the quadruple suplex. But Orange Cassidy gets in, monster pop from the crowd, and he is enough to just lift them over and win it for his side.
It was so good.
And he kips up.
Yeah.
Just, and then the best friends hug spot around him.
Yeah.
Brilliant match.
Another great spot in this match to further this Paige storyline was Matt was during his super kick party, stopped himself from super kicking Adam Paige. And the commentary team really put this over big because, and it's going to be really fun to look back on sort of in hindsight for sort of a young man's perspective, because he should have hit that move. It is every man for himself, but his friendship and allegiance with Paige got the better of him. So you got JR on commentary being like, he made the wrong call there. He should have hit that move because it's every man for himself. Like, I know you're all friends, but the number one contendership is at stake here. So then at the end of that match, when Paige blind tags himself in on Matt to steal what was set up to be their victory, that I just think it's some really, I think there's some really great stuff throughout this match. After the match, I thought this was terrific.
I just hope he doesn't join Dark Order. it's great stuff. So, I think of everything this week in wrestling. You should watch the Cannonball from Kevin Owens and Buddy Murphy joining Seth Rollins, and you should watch this match. I haven't watched NXT yet.
No.
So, I heard there was a very good tag match on that.
Well, we've got the Time Splitters reuniting against Grizzled Young Veterans, who are awesome.
The show opens as well with this brilliant Bash at the Beach set. I was just so happy.
Yeah.
To say, I know it should be in summer, but
that's
that
your
aside,
complaint.
Everyone's in Hawaiian shirts, apart from JR. There is a woman in a bikini sitting on a lifeguard chair.
She's not a woman in a bikini. She is a lifeguard. She is doing her job to make sure that people were safe.
Look, I thought that I had matured or progressed. It's 2020. I'm 30. Do you ever forget? I think I'm 32.
Yeah, because I'm 34. And you're a couple of years younger than me.
Or am I turning 32 in March?
No,
I can't remember.
You're 87, right? So you're
30. 88.
Oh, you're 88. I thought you were 87.
I'm 88. Year of the dragon. But she's there, and I loved it. Look, there was a very attractive lady in a bikini there to be objectified. That's what this was. I didn't have a problem with it.
It's slightly problematic, but at the same time,
Love Island exists.
Yeah, and that show's really problematic.
Exactly. This is fine.
But like, it's as a,
it was
as part
campy.
Of a thing,
it was campy,
very
tongue in cheek.
But they did this with Fighter Fest. Do you remember they had some
the
of
the models, yeah,
were going on as well. So I just think it was a very campy thing to do. I think you probably could have just had a bloke up there at one point.
You know what? Just have two, yeah, and then it kind of balances it out.
That's exactly it.
Because I don't mind objectification and sexualization. Just make it equal.
That's exactly it. And I think you could have easily have got around this potential problem by doing that. Mm. But they just said they just kept swapping her out. And I'm like, where's the Billy from Stranger Things?
Yeah. Oh, what a hunk.
What a hunk he is.
Then we go backstage after that opening match. DDP is doing some yoga. And then I think it was Excalibur just went at ease, which is what he does at the end of his work. Anyone who's done DDP, why?
At ease.
Why? DDP, why? I got a kick out of that. Yeah. Man's in incredible shape.
Cody came out for a promo to respond to Maxwell Jacob Friedman and about the stipulations. There was kind of teased they were going to answer this last week, but Arn Anderson said, no, we're going to discuss this further.
Arn wasn't with him here either.
No, but Cody came out and he kind of like ran down each one of them. And I liked when he said that you picking the steel cage match against Wardlow was a surprise to me. And I think it was a surprise to a lot of people, because when you see when Wardlow takes that shirt off and you see how jacked he is, how good a wrestler he is, everyone's going to be asking, why is he carrying your bags?
Yeah.
When you should be carrying his. That was a wicked way to put over Wardlow. Just going to hope now that... And they've just signed Brian Cage, reportedly. Like we already had... they're going to stand across the ring. But yeah, so I thought this was a fine little promo. It's not Cody's best work, but
That's a high bar, though.
A very high bar. And he just went out there to say, I've accepted the stipulations.
I love the end line. This is not your story. You're just a chapter in mine. And then I'm going to give you one of your own scars, like he's the one over his head.
Also said that he goes, you kind of like, you think you're all that because a few legends have called you an old school heel.
Mm.
Well, my friend Kevin would just say you're lazy.
Yeah. It was really, really good stuff. He also like added a bit of realism in there, said that MJF was a pageant kid. Like his mum put him on
Rosie
TV,
O'Donnell.
Yeah, when he was seven. I was like, that's a nice... Like, it really gets over MJF's character. It informs how I'm meant to take him. And also, Cody was dressed like a character from Miami Vice.
Yes.
He looked great.
Yeah, he was accepting the 80s thing. So was Justin Roberts.
Mm.
In his getup.
Justin Roberts looked awesome.
Yeah.
All white.
Yeah, and apparently all the ring crew were all wearing Hawaiian shirts as well. So they were all... It's just JR. Everyone was in on it apart from JR. It was... just going to be their curmudgeonly little JR. Like, no, I'm putting it in my barbecue sauce. Thank you very much.
It might be in his contract.
Yeah.
He gets to do this. I just point this out because I'm worried some people might call me a hypocrite. Cody did throw to the Titantron screen at the start of this promo to get a graphic to appear there, which just listed each demand from MJF. I thought that was a very effective way of going point by point. And totally made sense.
But that's also way different to someone coming out and being like,
here is a video package. Yeah.
That's not been made by me. And he addressed it, you know, he said to the tech person backstage, can you put it up on the screen so everyone can see it? Yeah. I
thought this was a seamless way to do that thing.
I think those two things are very, very, like,
just
completely
in case.
Different.
Just in case.
Yeah.
After that, MJF is walking backstage. Did you see his T-shirt? I banged Dallas's daughter. Holy crap. MJF is amazing.
Yeah, with the self high five on
everything. Yeah, yeah. Darby's warming up backstage. Pac's walking around and then he steals Darby's skateboard. Didn't really play into anything.
No, this is all just, it's stuff to go on in the shrink screen.
Yeah, yeah. So that would have been quite a cool element to add to the match. Yeah. Got your skateboard. It just another thing that Pac does backstage that gets dropped.
Yeah.
Is he still beating up Michael Nakazawa?
I don't know. Joey Janela cut a promo basically saying that 2019 wasn't the best year. He didn't have the greatest win-loss record. 2020 is going to turn around. But unfortunately, Penelope Ford keeps knocking him in the balls and hanging out with her new dickhead boyfriend. And he's like, I don't really want to fight you, but if you want to step to me, you can do. And he's going to be facing Rey Fenix next week, which I believe was taped. Because it's going to air on, there's the Jericho Cruise next week.
Mm.
But apparently they've already taped that match. I don't know if it's for Dark or if it's going to be on Dynamite.
Yeah, apparently they had the match either before or after the show. So we'll see. I thought this was very good work from Joey, content-wise. This was the best I've seen him on Dynamite, really, so far. He said that he's got something to prove now.
Yeah.
And in one line, he both made me excited for the Fenix match by saying that, you know, I'm a man out there looking to prove something. And also built this other larger blood feud storyline with Kip.
Yeah.
So really good stuff. Unfortunately, after, I would say, a flawless opening to the show with that amazing opening match, Cody promo, just the general fun of Bash at the Beach. It's the Nightmare Collective again. How many times do we have to review segments like this?
Yeah, I know.
Because it's not working.
Yeah.
The stuff that was working was really good women wrestlers wrestling each other.
Yeah.
And... The whole crowd went silent.
This was
as soon as it started.
Silent. Yeah, this was absolute crickets.
So it was Brandi Rhodes and Mel of the Nightmare Collective going up against Chris Statlander and Sheeta. Statlander and Sheeta are very over, but you know, outside of this storyline. But that's how bad the Nightmare Collective are.
Yeah,
it killed their heat.
It completely.
Statlander did a standing moonsault off the ring apron to the outside in like the first 30 seconds, no one cared.
No. It's
and this, it was a bad match.
This is a boring match, to be honest with you. This was really, really boring. It was plodding. It was slow. It was just, I mean, a lot of it did take place in the ad break, but even with all of that, it still felt really slow. Mm. It was just Mel and Brandi badly working over Sheeta forever to build to the Statlander hot tag, which didn't feel like a hot tag because no one was really into this. And then, for me, the bizarre thing about this match, outside of it being a bad match, and it was a bad match, was that it really felt like they were doing everything they could to get Mel over. Because they were like, look how tall Mel is. Look at the strength that she's got over all of these other women. She is knocking them for six.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, so they're really putting her over as like the enforcer of this group. Because it's not King Luther, is it? Just sat out there doing nothing. And then they pinned her. So I'm like, okay, oh, right, so she's crap then, is she? what was this?
It's not just that either. It's like, yeah, Mel, you just lost after all that. And also the Nightmare Collective lost. So it's kind of, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If Nightmare Collective win, we're all like, oh, God, you're pushing the Nightmare Collective. If they lose, we're like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
So it's so bad. I can't see a way out of this. You wrap it up, it's going to be bad. You keep it going, it's going to be bad. It's a bad... It's all round bad.
It's killing the women's division, man.
Yeah, it is.
Which is already struggling. And this is just making it way worse. Because again, like, who's the challenger for Riho at the moment?
Mm.
Like, it feels like no one is. And Riho, again, wasn't there. Actually, yeah, like 2 weeks on the bounce, like 2 weeks on the bounce for Riho at the moment feels like, oh my God, she's Kenny Omega at this point. I just think the women's division is really struggling. This is not helping.
And they've got the talent, like Bea Priestley, Shanna.
Big Swole.
Rio, Big Swole, yeah.
Sheeta, Statlander, like they've got good people there.
Yeah, who's the other, the other Brit? I can't remember her name, the red-haired lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was awesome. I don't know. But this is Brandi. Brandi's in control of the women's division. It just so happens Brandi's in this suffocating faction that's dominating that division. Someone's got to tell her to be better or to like take herself out of it.
What did Luther add to this match?
Oh, exactly. He stayed on the ramp to try and delay Sheeta getting down to the ring while Mel and Brandy beat up Statlander right at the start. That's it.
And then he sat down next to Justin Roberts. He wasn't even standing in their corner. He sat down next to Justin Roberts, the ring announcer. The commentary team were making fun of it, being like, oh, he's made a new friend.
It's bad. It's bad. Then we got the Dark Order promo. Then we got a really good match, really built very nicely between Sammy Guevara and John Moxley. Sammy did his usual
placard stuff
in the ad break. He said that the Mox stuff was so stressful, he's got an ulcer. Also, he hears Vanessa Hudgens' single.
Yeah.
Which got a pop. Now, as this was going on, I was getting really excited for Moxley to come out. And then he came out in that car, which...
with no music.
I would argue got a superficial pop, and then he made his entrance. And this was probably the lamest and quietest Moxley entrance of his AEW career so far.
Yeah, and match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't get, you want to say that you were right about the car?
It should have been Pentagon. I don't think the car fits Mox's character, and I don't think it's a cool idea, but it's just not right for this. And I love Mox's entrances because there's that guttural roar. He connects with something deeper in a lot of people, particularly me, like some weird rage-fueled part of my heart.
I felt that last night when we were at the BT Sports house party thing, when Ilya Dragunov was on the apron.
Exactly the same thing. And when Mox came out in a car and was like, I'm like, this is too close to Goofy Dean for me.
Mm.
This isn't Mox. And I would argue that the crowd reaction, although they're all happy and they were noisy still, and he's still very over, it's not as good as what he was.
Nope, I agree. Agreed.
But this match really worked very nicely. Sammy got a lot, which I appreciate because Guevara, he's been built as a very good in-ring wrestler. But in recent weeks, he's sort of just been the Inner Circle's job guy, just by the nature of where he's positioned. So it was nice to see him go toe-to-toe for a long time against Mox.
And what I thought was really interesting about this match as well, because maybe I've missed something or I've misremembered something, but this was to set up one half of a number one contendership match.
Mm.
So it was Mox and Guevara here, and it was Pac and Darby Allin in the main event.
Yeah.
And the winner of those two matches will face next week on the Jericho Cruise. I already thought Mox was the number one contender.
Yeah.
Maybe I've imprinted that onto the story that they've been telling, but I just figured he already was.
Maybe he was never officially said it. I think you got the Mox. Mox came out and just stared down Jericho.
He was ranked number one.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where that's my error that I put on there.
But it was a nice structure to the night, and I'm looking forward to Pac Moxie next week.
Yeah, totally.
Spoiler for the main event of this show.
Yeah.
This was just a good match, and as it went on, it got really, really, really good. Spanish fly off the top rope. I bought into Sammy winning.
Yeah.
Off that move. Really good near fall. But then Sammy goes up for a moonsault. I like this because it kind of protects him and he's inexperienced. It was a strategic mistake rather than he can't beat Moxley on another day. Didn't look behind him.
Yeah.
So he just hit this moonsault and Moxley catches him in a rear naked choke. Sammy taps immediately. I don't think it hurts Sammy at all.
No, and I think it's nice that Mox has got something that's not just the paradigm shift. Having matches end in other ways that's not just your finisher all the time. I think it's always a really nice a change-up to things. I loved it.
I thought it was very effective. And then Jericho music, that's a pop.
Mm-hmm.
When Jericho's music hit, the crowd erupted, and then the lights cut out.
Why did the lights cut out? Because then it's revealed the Inner Circle are there, which is sort of what we expected when Jericho's music hit.
Yeah, well, I guess that you...
they love the lights out.
They wanted to jump Moxley from behind, but there is four of them.
Yeah.
If we're nitpicking, the better visual would be for them to walk through the crowd,
yes,
a la Mox's entrance.
That's exactly what I would have done.
Or maybe come round near the car. The car felt like weirdly forgotten about after that moment.
Tony's got to give it back to his dad. Yeah, so yeah. Borrowing it for the weekend.
And...
The big part of this was they beat him down for a while, and then Jericho took one of the spikes off of his jacket and he stabbed Moxley in the eye with it. They sold this really big.
It, yeah.
He's got the, you know, the trainers come down, the medics come down, Jericho, you know, and his cronies go off. And yeah, they were selling this as just like that match, there's, you know, this number one contendership is not happening next week. It can't do.
Yeah.
Because Moxley's blind. And they sold this for the rest of the night leading into the main event.
It was, yeah, the pomp and circumstance around this was perfectly done. They treated it very seriously. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's stuff like that, a spike into the eye in a wrestling ring, that seems like you'll go one step too far. It's like Joe with the machete in TNA. Yeah. You know, just, or someone, you can't bring guns into wrestling. It's just everything falls apart when you go that over the top. But they treated this so well and packaged it so smartly. Was a home run for me.
Yeah.
And there is so much just potential there in this feud with the idea of targeting the eye. Jericho pounced on it immediately. There was an interview backstage with Jen Decker. I think it was Jen.
It was Jen Decker, yeah.
Where he said, you know, I'm not going to take my eye off you.
Yeah. I like that he said, it's not my fault. It's not my fault I had to do that. It's Moxley's fault for not joining us.
Mm.
He made me do this.
Yeah, but it's literally, it's a revenge. It's an eye for an eye. I'm and Jericho's smart enough to really build that into the framework of the feud.
And then I
really, really liked it.
And then put over their match next week because they're facing Jurassic Express on the Jericho cruise. And I love that he was just like, I'm going to beat up Jungle Boy like I did and I beat him already.
This is very good wrestling booking because you've got, you know, one feud over here, but there's also this other thing that's just a historic hatred between two people.
Yeah.
Really good. Then Jen Decker. We've done that. Yeah. Hager did a pirate impression.
Yeah.
He went, "Arr," because of Mox's eye. And I thought, they're on a boat next week. I got very excited. I know I was just saying how I don't want Mox to be goofy.
Yeah.
But there's something about pirates, you know?
You are a pirate.
We got
DDP's first match since 2016. His first match on TNT. Since WCW closed its doors. Six-man tag, it was with Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall against MJF, Butcher, and Blade.
Someone had a BJF sign in the crowd. Yeah. Tickled me more than it should have done.
But I loved MJF t-shirt. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
And this was really, really great stuff. It's just such simple heel work. MJF starts off the match with DDP in the ring, being like, oh yeah, I'll face you on old man. And then instantly goes up, tags in the Butcher, and he goes out to the ring, even gets into the crowd and be like, I'm just going to watch from ringside. I'm going to be right here. DDP, realizing he's not going to get his hands on MJF, tags out to QT Marshall. MJF, quick as a flash, runs back into the ring, tags in the Butcher so he can get in and wrestle QT instead. I thought it was actually, it's simple heel stuff. But sometimes simple is why it works.
That's what it is. That's why he's so successful, because he is that kind of pure throwback heel. It's good that he turned. He's so good. But this was mostly built around DDP being wrestling.
Yeah.
And wrestle he did. This wasn't Bret Hart coming back in a very protected SummerSlam 10-man tag. This was, I'm going to take a bump. I'm going to hit a diamond cutter. I'm going to do a top rope splash to the outside on everyone.
That was falling with style.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't jump.
It's not part of the program. It's not part of DDPY.
Yeah. Addies, you're a dead man.
There's some really good stuff in this. I really enjoyed the... Actually, MJF had a really nice spot in this when he used the Dynamite Diamond ring to punch someone. I think it was Dustin to punch Dustin in the eye and sort of like do a blind thing, quickly take it off, pass it across to Wardlow. Camera caught it really well. Referee didn't see it. I thought that was a nice little bit of heel work. But as you said, this match was building up to the DDP hot tag, so he could get in, clear house, hit a couple of diamond cutters, do the dive to the outside, and during the shrink screen of when they're showing a replay, MJF rolls up QT Marshall, grabs the tights and pins him.
Yeah, I like that. That wasn't missing. That was that cutting around the cameras was intentional, I think.
I think it was, yeah.
So if to be super nitpicky on this, was DDP's in-ring return. He's a 63-year-old man. This is a big deal. Didn't feel like a big deal.
No, but I, it's a shame as well, because I think that the Nightmare Collective killed this crowd, and it took a lot to get this crowd back into things. And really, they weren't into this match until DDP got in. The match never felt like it was a big deal. Even with MJF wasn't getting like super good heel heat, which he usually does. I don't think the crowd were massively, as you said, the crowd weren't as into Moxley as they usually are. They weren't really into, they popped for Jericho coming out, but they weren't really into the beatdown.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nightmare Collective completely killed this crowd dead, because they were there. They were there during the opening match.
Yeah.
But the Nightmare Collective completely killed this town dead. And I think that affected every match that preceded it, particularly in the main events. But I wonder if the crowd not being into this actually did hurt their match and hurt its presentation.
I don't know. I think, looking back on it, because I totally agree with the idea that DDP, 63 years old, let's protect him in a six-man. But seeing him wrestle and seeing how well he moved around, it was effortless. I'm like, I think you should have built this up. I think you should have built this up over months and like, well, he's never going to wrestle. He's never going to wrestle. And then he's like, I'm going to wrestle you. And it's a one-on-one match. Lots of smokes and mirrors with MJF.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, because they could have done that as well, because they had Dallas there for the ring thing. Because that's where it's been started off. It was from the Diamond Ring. So you could have been building it for weeks after that.
Mm.
But they didn't. They sort of left it for a month. And then he came back and was like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to wrestle.
Yeah, I just feel like DDP is... He's a big name. He's really, really is. Not Goldberg level, but I thought it should have been packaged a similar way to Goldberg's return with Lesnar. I'm not saying it would have been that level, but I think the man's reputation deserved more than what we than this. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it. I just thought a lot was left on the table.
I agree with you. I also hope it's not the last time we see DDP in the ring. I really don't. I'm a big fan of it.
So the SCU interview backstage, which we talked about with Paige from earlier. Then we got the announcement that Cody versus Wardlow in the first ever steel cage match on AEW. I hope they go big bars. will happen on February 19th.
In Atlanta.
Yeah, which is just 10 days before Revolution.
Yeah.
So that's...
Cody did say this in his promo. He said that, you know, you want him to soften me up so that when we face off a Revolution, then I'm going to be easier for you.
That's big. That's big. Mm. And the main event was Pac versus Darby Allin, which...
God, these two work well together.
Are you being sarcastic?
Do you not like this?
I just...
I'm surprised.
I just... It wasn't... It was a good match. I wasn't massively into it.
I just thought it was fantastic.
Oh, right. So they kind of, Darby lost, and the way they set that up really was Pac taking him out shoulder to the steel steps and powerbombing him on the steel steps early. And after that, Darby never really got into it.
Well, yeah, he had his big comeback, but then was shot down because of the back injury that he suffered earlier in the match. I just thought these two worked really, really well together.
Okay.
A lot of it did take place during the commercial break. It didn't feel like the main event. That'd be my criticism of this. This show felt like it should have been structured differently. Like that four-way really should have been the main event. It should have been the main event closer.
I like it as an opener. But I think Moxley Sammy could have been the main event with the blinding angle afterwards.
Yeah, but you wanted to have that stare down between the two competitors. So I guess I understand why they structured it this way, but the crowd were never as hot as they were for that four way, and that felt like a main event.
Yeah,
and I don't think this felt like a main event to a show. I would be stunned if AEW wins the ratings this week.
Ooh,
I really would be.
Okay.
Because I don't think this was a show that made you want to stick around to watch everything.
Yeah.
This felt like a channel flipping episode, particularly when the Nightmare... Well, actually, no one was talking about the Nightmare Collective Game Viewers last week. But I thought this was... I really, really liked this match. Yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I liked it. I just didn't... I didn't love it compared to everything else in the show. But yeah, it was the Black Arrow to the back to win, which is a nice storyline point. But really, this was about the... After the post-match angle, Pac grabs the mic. He declares himself the number one contender. There's no way Moxley can fight me next week. He's blind. And it cuts backstage. Mox is being loaded into an ambulance. He kicks out the ambulance, and then he comes down to the ring.
Dressed like Snake Plissken.
Yeah, he's got the bandage over his eye. Arr.
Combat pants and everything.
And he says that he'll be there next week, one eye or not, and I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, and I like this for Pac as well, because Pac's... deal since he's been in AEW is that he's always being overlooked and people are being picked over him. So here he is finally thinks he is the number one contender. But Moxley is like, even Tony effectively stops interviewing him to be like, oh, so we're just getting word from the back. Mm. We've got to cut somewhere else. That's more character fuel for Pac of being like, this company keeps ignoring
me. Yeah.
And I won't be ignored. Where's my Kenny Omega rematch? I'm still not being granted it. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some nice subtle stuff in here that you can use to further that Pac character.
Yeah, because he's got a few feuds going as well. Yeah. Very good stuff. So overall, I would say this was a high 3 out of 5.
I gave it middle of the roads. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was. I described it as a meh show.
Yeah, but that opening match honestly was so good.
Yeah, and all the Paige stuff is incredible. Yeah.
Let's get through your super chat. So Leslie N says, everybody knows the real Dark Order leader is Shane McMahon.
Oh, he's going to come in. They're going to do a simulcast.
I'm the new owner of AEW. Justin Anza Ludua. Mm-hmm. I think Vampiro is the leader of the Dark Order. You know what? That is a good idea.
That's a good name to get as well.
Yeah.
Like, as a recognizable name, if you're trying to pull in that audience from 20 years ago that stopped watching. Vampiro is a name from that era.
And he was brilliant on Lucha Underground.
Well, not when he was farting on so loud on commentary.
That's Triple A. That was Triple A. That was Triple A commentary. It was. Prinash Sharma, what if Mox wins the title and is revealed as the Dark Order leader?
No, I wouldn't like it to be Mox.
He's over enough as it is. Yeah. Seth M, what if Cody is the leader of the Dark Order? He joins with his wife and forms the ultimate order of nightmarishly dark collect.
I mean, that would mean there's one less spooky group
because
they've sort of, it's, you know, it's the corporate ministry coming together.
Well, I feel it's more like the fun of debt consolidation. Oh, you've got loads of debt, crippling debt. Let's just put it in one place so it feels manageable, but really it's still debt.
On the subject of Dynamite overall, Tim says, I'd rather rewatch all Baron Corbin main events of the past than rewatch that Nightmare Collective match once. Say that now, Tim.
That is bold.
That is bold.
And we want to make you do it. Live stream that. Because Baron is great, but when that whole mid-card vortex thing was going on, it was bad.
Jobber JJ, Ollie Davis's number one fan, says, I banged DDP's daughter was a shirt to wear at Bash at the Beach. Also, where can I buy one? The shirt, not the daughter.
I mean, I assume it's up on Pro Wrestling Tees.
No, I'm pretty sure last time I checked, it was at WrestleTalkMerch.com.
Well, at least go there first and have a look.
Yeah.
Nice shout out.
Thank you, mate. Limps, Darby Allin's coffin drops are a thing of beauty. Yeah, his springboard one that he did that went into the Pac German suplex, he did to the floor. Yeah. I love the coffin drop. I think it's really cool. Mark Scottish Cycle Path Murray, Ollie is the leader. Been to the Join Dark Order website? Have you been?
I haven't, no.
That's because you're the leader and you don't need to go.
Yeah, why would I have to? I just get the analytics reports from my creepers.
Phoenix says, I was quite impressed by Mel. She really connected with me somehow. You guys at all, though. I thought Mel was fine. The problem was is that they pinned her right away after pushing her. It's like, oh my God, she's so big and unstoppable. Turns out she's quite stoppable.
Yeah, and it's a Nightmare Collective. No one's going to get over in that group.
Christian Baltimore, hope Pac and Mox are given at least 30 minutes for the match next week.
On a boat? No, 20 minutes.
Flippy floppies.
20 minutes is a long time for a match. 30, you know, save that stuff for pay-per-view, I would say.
Matthew Scheel said, surprise, Mox didn't main event. I think it's just so they could do the blinding angle so that he can then show up at the end and be like, no, I will be there next week.
Yeah.
And put over the ear, he's going into that match.
I think the blinding angle is a stronger tease, though. Stronger cliffhanger.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm Pritcharding it. That's why they're doing it. We haven't got an AEW version of Pritcharding something.
No, we'll find one.
Is it a Schiavone-ing? He's got a podcast with Conrad.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of them do. JR, Arn. Anyway, Tim says, small complaint, but why did there need to be a ref bump for Orange Cassidy to get involved in a no DQ match? Referee could have, like, exerted his referee's thing and being like, well, you're not part of this match, so
yeah.
I'm going to push you
and,
out.
And he saw it as well. Like, yeah. He recovered pretty quickly and saw it happen. Yeah, I thought that was a bit weird as well.
Yeah. Guti 25, Joey versus Phoenix was on Dark. Or it's going to be on Dark.
Going to be on Dark. Oh, okay. Mm. Well, he advertised it for a match. I assumed he was talking about Dynamite. So maybe they'll have a rematch.
Yeah.
Phoenix is apparently working very injured.
Oh, that sucks.
Dave Meltzer said on The Observer.
Well,
so.
Yeah. Dark is going to TV. Yeah. Which is one of my wild predictions for 2020.
Nice one, man.
I've got it with 16 days into the new year. Nate drops surname. To be fair, has JR ever been to the beach?
I'm sure he has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barbecue on the beach.
Joshua Lieberman says the front DDT stop from Mox was great.
Which bit was that?
I'm not particularly sure.
I'm cycling my mind through all the spots in that match. Well, I'm sure it was. Yeah. I really enjoyed that match.
And Joshua also said, will Orange Cassidy have his style of match?
No, and nor should he, because that means the other wrestler would have to make that properly work, the other wrestler has to pretend that it's hurting. So the way they've used him so far is perfect.
Yeah.
AEW related in general, Rahul Patil. Frankly speaking, AEW with its great wrestling is a bore show. Storytelling is primitive. Would also like to know why Hangman Page is pushed. His character is dead and boring. Love from Mumbai, India. Wow.
I mean, I couldn't disagree more. There's a primitive storytelling.
The storytelling's very, very high level, I would say. The way they've got so many directions they could go in. It's just like some of those stories just aren't that good.
Yeah.
And the Hangman Page stuff. That's a shame because I think he's doing brilliant work. Austin Baker. David Starr to AEW or any other hidden UK talent?
David Starr's forever indie.
Yeah, yeah. He's. But it'd be nice to see him work as a non-contracted talent. Maybe that...
It's also lovely that David Starr is now considered UK talent. And he's very much American.
Other hidden UK talent. Callum Newman.
Callum Newman.
and the Ojmo.
Or OJMO, if people want to correct us on that. Mm. The other team I'll go to bat for, though they're not UK talent, they just work here a lot, is Aussie Open.
Yeah.
I think one of the great sets. When Dunkzilla is back, I'm so looking forward to those two teaming together again.
Guti 25, being at Bash at the Beach Live was amazing. The only thing we weren't loud for was the Nightmare Collective. The higher power is CM Punk. That's confirmed.
That's confirmed. That didn't come across on TV, that you were loud for everything other than Nightmare Collective. So it felt like after Nightmare Collective, the crowd were very, very much dead.
Logan Wills, did you guys see the shot the Young Bucks took at Wrestling Critics on Being the Elite?
I have not. Also, I like you've written BTE and then put in brackets Being the Elite, just in case. Like, you might as well have just written Being the Elite. No, I've not.
No,
I haven't watched this week's episode.
Guy 2231, was it just me or did referee Audrey have a chant going on during the match she reffed for?
She did when she ran out as well to stop the inner circle. She got an Aubrey chant.
She's brilliant. Dip Pool, where's
Oh,
Havoc?
Sorry. Just a quick one. The mods edited that Being the Elite, just in case we weren't sure what BTE was.
Dip Pool, where's Havoc? Is he being punished for the Excalibur fight?
I wondered that.
Mm, that's been missing.
Yeah, so Rovert had a report last year where he said that Tony Khan had buyer's remorse over some of the early signings. Mm. And I saw a lot of people speculate that it's Jimmy because he's not been on TV. You know, pretty much at all. And I wonder if there is something to that. Like, you know, he hasn't been seen for a long, long time. And there was that Excalibur fight.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to do WrestleTalk?
Oh, I will do, yes. Gazzatola of Rock and Roller. Like me, you've both been a fan of wrestling for a couple of decades. But what was your first live wrestling experience? Mine was Insurrection 2001. I missed the UK pay-per-views. Keep up the excellent work, guys.
Indie from the start. For my birthday... When I was 11, maybe, I was taken to the Orchard Theatre in Dartford where we watched a wrestling show and it was on a stage and we were just in seats.
Yeah.
And it was a ladder match at the end and it blew my mind.
I'm pretty, like, a proper one. I think I went to a Raw taping in 2005, maybe six. It was after Batista had won the belt, so maybe it's 2005 in London. Is that when I was at university? But when I was a kid, or a teenager maybe. Do you remember they used to put on, there was a promotion in the UK that used to put on WWF events where they would just have like local wrestlers playing WWF wrestlers.
It's a carny biz sometimes.
Yeah, I went to one of those.
And it was not good. Firefly Fan House, Edna Madden. Hi, Wrestling Talk. Some kind of review.
Some kind of review.
It is
right
a
there.
Nice some kind of review. Thank you very much. Nate Drop Surname. Is PAX somehow involved in the Dark Order? I hope not. But they said they increased their efforts by turning Naka, and PAX has been the one attacking him. But that was more for the Kenny thing.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Although and that is the Elite.
They're going against the Elite. Yeah, again, he's someone who doesn't need a faction.
Start Recording says, if you could only speak in wrestling catchphrases for a week, which three would you choose?
That's tough.
Well, so do we pick a wrestler with, and do we have to say their catchphrases? Because if so, I'm picking Jericho. He's got 1,000.
That's a good shout. I'll go with The Rock.
Yeah, he's got a lot. A lot of them aren't very good, but he has got a lot of them.
How dare you?
I'm just thinking 2011 Return Rock and his when he basically said, like, I can go out there and cut 30-minute promos, it's fine. And then went out there and was like, I don't need a script. And then went out there and was like, actually, no, I can't cut 30-minute promos.
I loved it. Yeah. No, I don't care. I
actually, turns out I can't do this anymore. Start Recording also says, do you think there's a decent chance that Shayna Baszler cost Becky her match versus Asuka? I was sobbing myself then in case it was going to be an NXT thing. But, I mean, it's...
I think it's more likely she'll turn up in the Rumble match.
Yeah, that would be my thing. And I think the money is in Baszler versus Becky for the title, as opposed to her costing her the title. Gucci25, by the way, guys, I'm going to be on the Jericho Cruise next week.
Yes!
Okay, so this is a call out now. Gucci25 and Harrison Berry, who emailed into our podcast to say he's going on the cruise as well. SWAF Nation meetup.
Go on.
Get
on
to wrestletalk.com/Discord. Get on there. Get into the AEW chat. Find a way that we can arrange like a SWAF Nation meetup on the Jericho Cruise. Majin says, chick or ham? He says, chicken or ham?
I'm going chicken.
I mean, I can't have either. Yeah. But I think when I was eating meat, I would have gone chicken because you need to get KFC then.
Yeah, KFC.
And Mr. Michael Lord 2011 says, have you seen RVD's rated X segment on Impact?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he's doing stuff with it because he's got like 2 wives at the moment.
Yes.
Two girlfriends.
Lucky man.
It's really funny. Someone posted up on Twitter today. How old were you when you realised that RVD and Val Venus were swapped gimmicks? Because RVD's whole thing now is he's got 2 girlfriends. Val Venus is selling weed online.
Oh, wow. What an entrepreneur. Yeah. And finally, we just had a last-minute super chat. Ryan B. Bask in his glory, King Chopper Whopper. I actually really enjoyed this Dynamite, even the Nightmare Collective match. Yeah. I didn't think there was anything negative in this show. Well, all the power to you.
All the power to you, my friend. Before we crack on, this was an email that was specifically asked to be read out on this show.
Okay, so an AEW one.
Yes, from Harrison, who said, what's up, lads? I'm going on the Jericho Cruise in less than a week.
Wow!
I'll be trying to get as many wrestlers to do a support WrestleTalk bumper.
No, Wrestling Talk. You have, please, even if they know us, which I doubt they will, make them say Wrestling Talk.
Any in particular you want me to try and go for?
Chris Jericho,
Kenny
Omega. Like all the big ones. And Orange Cassidy.
Oh, man. If you could get Orange Cassidy, I think that would be the winner right there.
Have you ever seen Orange Cassidy's film review clip? Ah, it's so funny. I can't remember where I saw it now. But he effectively does... It's a video where he does reviews of films. Mm. And it'll be like picture of the Dark Knight. Okay. Pretty good, you know, and then it just very low effort reviews. It gets to Fast and Furious 6 or 7, and he goes on this eloquent 3-minute breakdown of the film and like this the psychological specifics of it. It's very well done.
We've got a Rusev here, and I want to read him before we get out of here. Comes in from Andy, who says, hello there, Luke and the WrestleTalk champs. I hope this email finds you well. I have a Rusev, hey, but only Luke can read this out, as it might be funny to see others' reactions. I was on the London Tube last week on my way to work. As the tube doors closed at the station, a chap got on holding a bike wheel. I thought this was different, and the chap looked to balance the wheel as he sat down.
Oh, no.
I went to tie my shoelace. In this moment, the guy accidentally, I'd like to believe, clocked me on the head with his coat.
No, oh, with his coat. I thought I was going to have accidentally hit someone with a bike wheel.
You didn't know it was you yet. I had my headphones on, listening to the Raw Review podcast. As the wheel man sat down, I was face to face with none other than the man I've watched for nearly 4 years, and the man who was literally talking in my ears, Oliver Davis.
Wow, you manifested me.
I was in a freak panic of what to do. Do I say hello when I'm on the tube? No one talks on the tube. He also had headphones on, which made it tricky too. So after a while, I thought I'd flip my phone around to show the WrestleTalk podcast on my screen. But someone got on the tube and stood in the way. He got off a stop before me and my chance to say hello was gone.
Hi, Brian Islington.
I was a bit bummed as I didn't get to say hello. Maybe next time. I'm an E17 guy. I don't know if that means he's part of the band.
Stay now, baby, if you've got to go away.
But what I will say is this. He had lovely jeans on. Thank you for all the great content and some of your rubbish content. You start Do They Know It's Christmas. Your start of Do They Know It's Christmas was absolute gold. I love you, Andy.
Thank you so much, Andy, for that email. I appreciate the compliment too. But I wasn't wearing the jeans that day.
Are these the jeans?
These are the jeans. I wasn't wearing these jeans. I was wearing those jeans on that day because I didn't want the bike wheel to make my jeans dirty if they touched them. I'm sorry I whipped you in the face with my coat. I was so...
You didn't say whipped, you said clocked.
Whipped.
Like, that makes it sound like it was heavy.
I think Andy is egging it on there. You've seen my coat. It's a delight to be touched by
lovely.
That coat.
Yeah, it's covered in but wine.
I was so worried about inconveniencing other people with this giant wheel. I hope you noticed how protective I was of anyone touching the wheel. Not for the wheel's sake. The wheel's going to be fine. But I felt like I was pissing everyone off on the train, and I'm usually very aware of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So in paying so much attention to the wheel, I didn't pay attention to where my coat was. I'm sorry.
Well, we're going to draw it to a close here.
Say hi next time, though.
But I'm going to give you a tease for tomorrow's show.
Ooh.
Not only do we have our own Rusev haze of all the people that we met at the WWE house party, including me having a way better meeting with Kurt Angle than Oliver Davis did 4 years ago, but we had an email in from Joseph, the man who was sat on the plane with Alexa Bliss. And he's written a follow-up
email
that answers some of the questions we had about their interaction.
Oh, my God.
So that's a tease for tomorrow's show.
That's exciting.
That's a tease for tomorrow's show. Also, so I mean, we've got a stacked couple of few episodes coming up.
Stacked.
Stacked, Pete's here. We've got the magazine show going out tomorrow, which is our roundup of the news and your mailbag questions from Patreon. Saturday, we've got the SmackDown review going up. And then on Sunday, we are going to have interviews with Sheamus and Nikki Cross. They were recorded on a bus.
On a bus?
On a bus.
And then, folks, it's bloody Royal Rumble week.
It's Royal Rumble week. So predictions out the wazoo. There'll be Worlds Collide. There'll be Royal Rumble stuff.
Will there be Worlds Collide? We're not covering Worlds Collide.
Are we not going to cover it at all?
Well,
I knew there's
not enough people.
We're going to do a review the following day before we do the Rumble live stream.
Oof, we could try. Yeah, okay. Oh, God.
Anyway, so look forward to all that great content coming up. I've just made more of it. Thank you so much. I'd love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.